Right now, it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. We say good morning to Cynthia Hauswinter, and good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
And hopefully to Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
Hey, I'm getting better at this.
Perfect.
That was, and the new headphones are here. Ladies and gentlemen, it was painless.
All right. Well, anyway, we will get to the red, white, and blue edition of the Lakeville Journal. Of course, because July 4th is this weekend, and there are lots of fireworks on the front page. And we're not talking about stories necessarily. There are actually lots of fireworks on the front page.
Well, our feeling, so as it turns out, there actually are some fireworks displays going on in the area. I think mostly in Dutchess County.
What Dutchess County has done is just amazing to put those three concerts together. They did it with iHeartRadio. Absolutely free. Music, you can listen to radio in your car. Music will be timed to the fireworks. And they've got it at the three locations. And it's at first come, first serve, social distancing. So I give Dutchess County a lot of credit.
Yep, it's fantastic. And so our two big month of July fireworks displays in here in Litchfield County in the Connecticut side are postponed until October because of COVID and, you know, concerns about people being too close together. So we decided that, in a way, we always sort of joke every year after 4th of July that you could pretty much pick fireworks photos from any year in the past. They kind of look the same. So we decided to do a full page of fireworks photos to get us in the mood. And, of course, you don't have the sound and you don't have the smell and the excitement of being with other people, but at least there's a little beauty for people to look at. So we have a full page of photos from back issues, plus also photos of Town Grove celebrations in Salisbury, which, of course, the Grove is closed completely for this weekend. So, I mean, I know that my first thought was like, well, I'll just walk over there and, you know, social distance and sit on the beach, and I guess...
No.
They're assuming that everybody in the world is having that same thought. It's a very popular beach on 4th of July. But you can also go to the Salisbury Association website, and you can watch Lou Bucherri reading the Declaration of Independence dressed in the colonial garb, Revolutionary era garb of Heman Allen, brother of Ethan.
All right. We'll go to the front page, and once again, important, the primary voting is coming up August 11th here in Connecticut, and absentee ballot details are printed right there on your front page.
Right, and there was a meeting in Sharon where Linda Amerigi, the town clerk, said that ballots are coming from a group, they've been contracted through an organization in Rhode Island. So if you get a letter from Rhode Island, don't throw it out. That may have your absentee ballot application in it. My daughter got hers yesterday, and it is marked from, I think, the Connecticut Department of Elections or the Election Commission. So I guess just, you know, keep an eye out because they're starting to arrive right now.
All right. And below that, you have a story on a slight rise in county COVID-19 cases, but still, the state of Connecticut has done an outstanding job in really bringing this under control.
Yes, it's been incredible, and we have to say our neighbors in New York State had such a huge high curve and have really dramatically brought it down. Massachusetts, the steadiest, so we've got some statistics, but even the last couple of days there have been more cases. Yeah. And there's a statistic that I'm not really completely sure where it came from, which is in Dutchess County there was an uptick, so I had to really dig around to figure out what that was, but I think I'm like, June 22nd, there were 500 people that were tested for COVID, and then the next day, there were like 1,500. And the day after that, there were about 900, and then it dropped back down again. So I'm not sure why all those people in Dutchess County suddenly got tested. But there was, you know, obviously an uptick in number of cases because of that. But the number of cases has been rising in Connecticut, too, very slightly, but enough to make, I saw a headline that Governor Lamont is thinking that maybe we should slow down the reopening.
I think what really cautioned him is that what he's going to do, he's not going to allow the bars to open because of what has happened in Florida, Texas, Arizona, North and South Carolina, wherever bars have opened, even in California, the rates have spiked. So I think that they're going to really hold off on opening up indoor bars. And that would be a very smart decision.
Yeah, and talk about indoor dining, too. And I, you know, finally had made a dinner reservation for myself after, you know, 5 months of quarantine or whatever. And so now I'm feeling like, I guess I should cancel that. But there are lots of places, beautiful weather to be outdoors right now and not too buggy yet.
All right.
And so now, our numbers are not updated because they've been rising since we went to press. And also that's got the travel ban in it. And at the time we went to press, there were 8 states on the ban. There are now more than 16, I think.
Yeah.
So we've got the links to the website.
And the numbers released by the states and the counties are all really, it is up in the air. They're doing the best they can, but it's not the most accurate representation. The way to look at the numbers, if you're going to look at the numbers on a daily basis like we have been asked to provide here, is look at them week to week, and then that's a much gentler curve, and you'll be able to really get a better idea week to week what's happening in the region. And because otherwise you can go crazy just checking the numbers every day.
Checking your bank account or your stocks. And then weirdly, Falls Village continues to have zero reported cases of COVID, but on Tuesday, Patrick happened to be driving to Torrington and he saw an event that had been sponsored by the Senior Center here and Charlotte Hungerford and Brian Oler was there and they were offering testing. And I think 65 people showed up, most of them Falls Village people. So it'll be interesting to see. I guess it takes 3 days before those are reported. It'll be interesting to see if any of those actually do turn up on the state data chart.
All right. I want to move over to an event that we publicized, and I think it was a great event put together very quickly by Maria Horn, also by Housatonic Valley Regional High School's Superintendent Lisa Carter and other folks at Housatonic Valley Regional High School, and also people from Torrington. And that was the fresh produce that was provided by the USDA to Torrington, and they had too much, and so they shipped it over to Region 1 at the high school, and a bunch of people lined up for it.
Right, and thank goodness, what a wonderful thing to hear at a time like this, that there's too much food. But yes, there was a long chain of people and organizations that had to come together to do this. The USDA, I have to say, has been making an effort to really make sure local families are fed, and we often feel here in the northwest corner that that we're ignored a little bit, but I would say that's not been the case. The USDA has been providing meals through the school district and then boxes with lettuce, celery, carrots, bread, and some other things.
Yeah. Now, you've got a story by Patrick Sullivan, and the headline explains it all. Loose plans unveiled for schools to open in fall. These are just basically, like when I was in school, you used to have to write an outline for a paper. These are basically like that outline for a paper.
Yeah.
They're
going to
be
like a request for proposals almost. So the Governor Lamont has sort of, he's expressing a general willingness to have schools open in autumn, but he's kind of saying, I'd like to hear from all the regions. Like, let me know what you're thinking. And, you know, to his credit, he's asking everybody what they think and not just saying, here's what we're going to do. And so it'll be interesting to see. You know, things are changing. And even in the last few days, as we were just discussing, a big change in COVID cases. The hoped-for summer lull has not happened. Clearly, warm climates have not helped because most of the most impacted states are the warmer states. So I guess they're going to wait and see what happens in autumn. I think a lot of parents are really, really praying that school opens again. It's been a very rough spring for them.
And in association with this, I'm really impressed with our representative, Johanna Hayes, in Congress, because even though she's a freshman, she immediately spoke up and wasn't necessarily that happy with what the governor had said at the outset. And what I loved about her is she's a former teacher. She was very independent and stood up and said, you know, I really don't know about this plan.
Yeah, and I think nobody really knows. I think even Lamont is pretty clear, like he doesn't even know. So, yeah, but good for her, and she's great, and we're so proud to be represented by her and so many of our Connecticut state officials right now. It's been a really great time to be proud to be a Connecticut resident.
All right, so now let's go to the plastic bag story.
Well, and, you know, as I've been out shopping, because that's the one thing I do is, like, I go out and I get groceries, and you get a good sense of what's happening on all the different towns, but I would say it's not as though everybody woke up on the day that this went into effect and said, well, you're paying for plastic bags, and they're still, they don't really want you to bring your own bags in. I really like using cardboard boxes. They always have cardboard boxes that are discarded from deliveries, and they're happy to have you take them because they don't have to recycle them, and it's a wonderful way to carry your groceries. But I would say it's not clear to me that 100% of stores are once again charging for plastic bags. They don't really, and I was at a store yesterday, Freshtown in Armenia, where they had signs side by side that said, don't forget your reusable bags, and next to it saying, don't bring your reusable bags. So it's all, you know, it's really up in the air right now, but always good to have your bags with you.
All right, and of course, you've got a story, Cynthia, about the government's request about travelers self-quarantining, and it's very hard for the state to really, unless you're coming in by airplane or by bus, where they can really trace you. But hopefully people will follow the orders.
Yeah, even then, it's not like they can come to your house every day for 2 weeks and check on you. But interestingly, because, of course, you know, people were joking that that Florida had been saying, you know, no New York State people coming into Florida, and now, of course, the tables are turned. And I would have to say every single person I know who has an apartment in New York was in their New York apartment for 24 or 48 hours this week, and it's been pretty crowded there, and I would say it's not over, and maybe, you know, as Gordon Ridgway said at the very beginning, if COVID, we're happy to have you up here in Litchfield County, but if you're going to come up here, it's better to not keep going back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be dealing with masks and social distancing for a long time around here, and if everybody follows the rules, guess what? It's shown it works. Now, you've got a story here because we're at that time of year, the safety reminder for cyclists and pedestrians.
Yes, actually, Peggy's name just went right out of my head. Peggy, who I play tennis with, Peggy Martinez had emailed and said, you know, there's so many people that are out on the roads walking, and it's wonderful, but there's a lot of basic safety rules that people forget, even simple things like wearing brighter colored clothes, especially if you're out in the dusk. So Mary John, who is one of our summer interns, and we will introduce her in our July 9th issue, although our interns are done for so far for this summer. Mary John went out and did some research and just did some reminders of, you know, safe cycling and safe pedestrian activities. And really, this is a story that's been relevant for months now. But I was just out, as I was driving here on Salmon Kill Road, cyclists out on the road, very curvy road, and some young woman came flying around a curve in her beat-up old Volvo sedan from 20 years ago and you know, went very wide and came around that curve super, super fast. So a reminder to drivers, you got to come around those curves a little slower. But also a reminder to pedestrians and cyclists that those cars are coming around those corners pretty fast, and they're not watching for you. So if there's four of you standing abreast in a road, you're in danger, and don't do it.
And also remind bikers, I go home once again, and I go up Mount Riga. And when I'm driving up Mount Riga, there's bicycle riders that are not from the area that are coming down extremely fast. And I've followed a couple of them. I've turned around and gone down to the bottom of the hill and said, you know, really, it's not a good road to come down here as fast as you can on. I know that it's a lot easier on you that way, but they were all very, you know, they forgot that it's a residential zone. There's dogs, there's cars, there's a lot of things that go on there. And when you're on a bike, it's really hard to stop when you're going downhill fast.
I wouldn't go down that hill fast, even if there weren't cars and dogs and bikes.
I know.
Really curvy. And
I don't like to walk down the hill fast, as a matter of
fact. Yeah, it's dangerous. And, you know, people have been sort of pushing back on are having said, put out warnings about the safety in the Great Falls and down in Kent at the Falls. And in fact, Michael Clemens has been talking to us about, you know, a citizen group that's putting together restrictions. And, you know, our intention is not to be mean to people. Our intention is to say, we've lived here for a long time. We're in the news media. We know that there's a lot of bad consequences that happen. Even if 99% of the time nothing bad happens, something really bad happens every couple of years. So we are just trying to be helpful.
We get very, very sad and very tired of reporting about deaths when they just don't have to happen.
Right. That's, and, you know, for our volunteer EMS, it's very traumatic for them and really leaves a scar on them.
All right. I want to go to something that I think is a pretty cool idea, and it's in the Our Town page, and that is Sharon Audubon has now a long-running scavenger hunt, which is going on.
Right. And Matt Andrulis Meddy, who's been the Sharon Rec Director since I moved here in the 90s, very inventive, and he was like, we should have a scavenger hunt. And then he called Audubon, and Wendy Miller, the education director there, said, yeah, that's a great idea. So you have to email... As far as I can tell, you can't go to their websites to find it. You have to email Matt, and Matt will email you back. But it's going to be a list of, you know, birds and things to watch out for, and what a great educational family activity. Or, you know, if you're living alone up here, what a great way to go out in peace in the countryside and have a purpose.
And if you don't have it, you can get Matt's email very on the Sharon Town website, as a matter of fact,
and
also
in
the paper. It's also
in
the paper. The affordable housing plan is back in Falls Village. It's smaller, but is it small enough?
All right, we're already getting letters about that, and Janet will talk about that in our letters page. But yes, they've listened to people, which is to their credit, and realized that they have to work with the community, and if the community doesn't welcome it, that it's never going to succeed. But it feels like they've been pretty responsive, so that is now going to be moving through the Falls Village the hearing process, so details on that in that article. And, of course, town meeting coming up in Sharon, all the basics of a town meeting. And Lila Hawken did a very funny story where she went to the first in-person meeting in Sharon at Town Hall, and she took a photo of it. But, you know, Lila is very funny in a very deadpan kind of a way and talks about how much the reporters have enjoyed really covering meetings by Zoom. So it's going to be an interesting thing to see if all the meetings start to go back to being held in public at Town Hall.
All right. North Canaan, finally, their highway project is getting underway, and it's beginning, I think, in a couple of weeks or maybe a week or so.
Yeah, of course, one never knows in North Canaan when these highway projects are going to be, and they do tend to take a long time, but they're going to be redoing that whole area over by the depot, and that is going to cause some traffic problems. The first projects they're working on are not going to interfere with traffic, supposedly, but keep an eye out and think about some alternate routes.
Well, at least this year they don't have to worry about railroad days or stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a perfect year to do it, actually.
Yeah, and Sharon has a town meeting coming up on July 16th.
And I don't want to let people miss on the obituaries page, some really, you know, as always, they're always wonderful people, but some, you know, well-known connections here. But Shane Stanfill, who was an intern with us last year, and, great, I just noticed we misspelled his name. We always miss something. Sorry, Shane. But Shane went to a baseball game. Willie Yon, who is the minor league ball player with the Baltimore Orioles, just a lovely kid, grew up in Sharon, and not a kid, young man now, and he started a baseball team that's being sponsored by the Great Falls Brewery in North Canaan, and they had their first game out in Hartford, and a very wonderful write-up by Shane about what that game was like.
I want to go on to the Viewpoint page and also the editorial page. We'll start off on the Viewpoint page. I like the headline, Snowflakes Fall on the Times and the Paper Melts.
That's right. Dick Ellis wrote his own headline on that, as he often does, and it's very descriptive of what he writes about, the fact that because of pushback on a column that New York Times published by Senator Tom Cotton, the editor of the page ended up resigning, and it really was well-discussed and difficult issue. So Dick talks about this situation from a journalist's point of view, and it's fascinating.
And you have Michael Duca and Carl Asher also with columns, and of course Peter Steiner's comic, which in itself is an editorial.
That's right. And yeah, if you know or like dogs or both and have one, by all means read M.A. Duca's column. It's really by Elsie as told to him, so don't miss that. And Carol Asher, a very good column on qualified immunity and the obstacle it's presented in good police-community relations.
All right, your editorial, we're opening but still need to be cautious.
Right. This is, you know, we were talking about this as we're going through the front page stories here, and everything we're doing as we're going stage by stage and opening, we really have to remember that there is no vaccine, there is no cure for COVID-19, and already in this area we've been seeing gatherings at outdoor eating areas where there are no masks and people are not socially distancing, and we just have to be careful as we do this. We want to support our local businesses, that's for sure, as best we can, but we have to do it safely. So do give that a read. We have a wonderful letter from Leslie Elias about the concerts that Mr. Krupa and support staff pulled together for the students at Housatonic Valley Regional High School. And just she has a couple of links there where you can see the kids playing and talks about her twin sons' experience with the music program. So it's really great.
And, of course, the letter, Culture Rules got a letter about the development for Falls Village, now that is back on the front burner again in Falls Village.
That's right. Culture is part of the neighborhood where the development is proposed, and he is bringing up the objections, and certainly they do still think it's too large, and there are other questions they have that are enumerated here very well. We also have another topic we've been talking about, and this is from Catherine Palmer Payton. Her son died in the Housatonic River in 2009, and this is around the time of that anniversary. So she has points to make and questions herself.
All right, and turning back the pages 100 years ago on this date, Orr Hill, Miss Victoria Levisky has the mumps.
Right,
and that now,
and there was no vaccine.
Now we can laugh. We can laugh about that now, but the mumps were a very, very big problem back then.
That's right. It made the paper, and we take these things for granted, but because of vaccines,
But it's a reminder, actually, that we have had situations before, and we have ultimately prevailed.
Right.
All right. So with that being said, let's prevail to compass here in the last minute and a half, 2 minutes.
And we have to leave time for our special food section, so I'll go through it very quickly. K.K. Kozik, who lives in my old house in Sharon, which I love, has done these beautiful paintings that are very warm and evocative of summer, and it's complex how you get access to them to read the article, but they're really worth looking at, and she's written a wonderful essay about it. Hunter Lyle interviewed Anne Makepeace, who's got the new film sponsored by Mary Close and Philip Oppenheimer of the our local volunteers. It's meant to be a fundraising film, but it's interesting, and my daughter did some work on it, and I got to see it. It's just, interviews and footage of our volunteers training and learning, teaching us about what they do and how hard it is. And then Center for Performing Arts is opening up in Rhinebeck with a perfect outdoor play, Midsummer Night's Dream, and the Berkshire Jewish Film Festival is coming up. And very quickly, I do want to talk about our compass special issue. We had planned to do larger size compasses throughout the summer. With the advertising, it's been tricky, but we felt like there's so many summer events that involve food, and we love those old-fashioned community cookbooks that you can sometimes find at your transfer station or at book sales. So we reached out to all the nonprofits in the area, and we had, I think, 28 of them responded and gave us wonderful recipes and beautiful photographs of their fundraisers. So we've got everything from pancakes to lobster sliders. I particularly love the Christchurch Episcopal and Sharon really old-fashioned recipes. The Cranford Club gave us meatloaf to feed 110 people. Annie Waite from the White Hart gave a master class in how to make a pot pie, which they always do for Salisbury, Winter Sports Association. Famous cakes, the orange chiffon cake, a super high level, but anybody can do a recipe for cookies from Bruce Weinstein, the famous cookbook author from Colebrook. And a particularly close one to my heart, Harry Hall's refreshing summer salad from the late Harry Hall, who is just such a wonderful man, dedicated to the Salisbury Visiting Nurse Association. So we do hope you'll pick it up. We hope you'll save it forever and ever.
And we remind people that coming up on July 4th, the Sharon Playhouse has their first drive-in theater show, America's Sweethearts. I think there's still space for about 18 cars left.
Oh, that's a lot because it's 52. It's limited to 52. So that should be fun.
So if you want to go, SharonPlayhouse.org to reserve your space. And you guys will reserve your space for next week. We'll speak to you then.
We will. Thank you so much.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal.